I'm Andy Borowitz, in for Leonard Lopate. Comedian Jeff Garlin, a co-star and co-producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David, proves that he knows all too well just how ridiculous, nasty, and wildly inappropriate Little League baseball parents can be in his latest film, Dealing with Idiots. For young kids, Little League sports can be lots of fun or boring, sometimes terrifying, leaving them with humiliating memories they will keep for the rest of their lives. Whether the scale is tipped in one direction or the other is usually dependent on parents who are all too often are driven close to insanity by the excitement of coaching or even just watching their children play sports. Jeff Garlin joins us today to discuss his movie Dealing with Idiots, which he co-wrote, directs, and stars in. It opens July 17th at the IFC Center and also will be available through video on demand. And I'm so excited to welcome Jeff to the Leonard Lopate Show today. Hello, Jeff.
Thank you, Andy. How are you, pal?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. You're dressed nicely for this weather.
You have to sort of. I'm wearing my Chicago Cubs hat.
That's right.
Yeah, I went for a long walk, actually, earlier today. A fool is that. But actually, when we filmed Curb Your Enthusiasm here a couple summers ago, that was like the hottest summer on record.
Wow.
And I remember we filmed in Central Park on a day that it broke the record. I was in Central Park all day. I went through, I think, four or five shirts. And that's not even a slight exaggeration.
Now, this movie is hilarious. It's all about kids and sports. And now you have two kids, right?
Yes, two boys.
And
yeah.
How old are they?
13 and 17. And this was inspired when the 17-year-old was 9 or 10, looking around as he was on a team, looking at the parents' behavior. I said to my wife two things. One is, just like I say in the film, what makes these people behave this way? What in their lives? And then the other thing is, I said to my wife, this would make a really great movie.
So you were happy about the miserable situation because there was material there.
I used the miserable situation. Any miserable situation in my life becomes comedy for me.
That's right. Well, Francis Ford Coppola said, always turn a disadvantage into an advantage. So that's exactly what you've done.
That's exactly what I've done here.
Now, so what was going on when he was playing? He was playing baseball, Little League baseball.
Yes, baseball.
I actually have
learned, by the way, that even though we call it Little League is an actual organization.
Right.
So in the movie, I had to be careful never to say Little League.
Oh, because you couldn't defame. You didn't want
lawsuits.
Yeah, so. What did you call it?
I made up a name. It was San Fernando / L.A. baseball. Youth baseball. So I don't remember what it was.
Right.
But I couldn't. We legally
the
couldn't.
The lawyer said.
And there's Pony League. There's all sorts of different leagues
that
are actual organizations that you can't.
So what team did your kid play for?
Oh, wow. They might have been the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, I make the team the Cubs.
Right.
I got permission from, the Cubs in Major League Baseball.
Right. And what town were you living in at the time? What part
of
LA?
What part of LA?
Are you in the West LA or?
No, I've lived in the Valley. Sherman Oaks for a number of years. But it's based on time spent in both Encino and Cheviot Hills.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That won't be that meaningful to our
transplant. But I'm being very specific.
I lived there for a while, so yeah. I just had a little bit of curiosity. So what were the things that went on on your son's team that said to you, well, this will be, it's miserable for him now, but it'll be a great movie for me, so it's all good.
Well, all the things that you see in the movie.
The terrible parents.
It's really just the behavior. What makes a person behave that way?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I still don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Having made a movie and experienced it, I don't know why someone behaves that way. When I would go to my son's games, I literally would do everything I can to blend into the background. My son knew I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that added or took away pressure, but I would never yell anything inappropriate. I just stayed out of the way, let him play. When I was a kid, I remember there'd be two or three parents at a game. Nowadays, there's two or three parents who don't show up at a game.
Right, right. Now you ask this question: what would make people behave this way?
Yeah.
Do you have a theory?
No, I have no theory. No, I really don't know the
even
answer.
Even after this extended observation,
because there's a million answers. You know, a hole in their life.
Right.
Overcompensating for their childhood. They don't like their job.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting satisfaction in their job. There's I mean, they think their kid's going to be so great.
Right.
I mean, there's a million different reasons. And I put a lot of them in the movie.
Now, how did you come from this improvisational background?
Yes.
And you're doing, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm is largely improvised based on scenes that Larry writes.
Yes.
He writes the schemes for the schematic design for the scenes. Then
yes.
You guys go off on it. What was your approach in this movie? How scripted was it?
There's about a 20-page script, which the cast never saw. I explained the movie to them when I hired them.
Was that more for production purposes, so you knew where you'd be shooting?
The script was more for production, and also for me as a director,
right,
to follow along, a blueprint. But I would tell the actors before we shot a scene what the scene was about, what maybe they were feeling because of what happened to them prior to that. Like, I'd set it up for them. And then they were free to go and do what they please.
Mm-hmm. And what was your introduction to improv? Did it all start in Chicago for you? Is that where you...
Yes, that's where it started, Second City.
Right,
yeah.
Right. How many years were you with Second City?
I have no idea. At Second City, I quit a bunch of times. I was fired a bunch of times. And I think I've broken the record for hiring Second City actors. This movie has, I think, five or six.
Who's from Second City in the film?
In the film, Richard Kind, Fred Willard, Nia Vardalos, Ian Gomez, Dave Sheridan. I'm trying to think who else. I wish somebody was here to tell me more names. But
You have some other very funny people in the film, like Jamie Gertz.
Yes, who's from Chicago, Second City.
J.B. Smoove,
yes,
from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Bob
Odenkirk.
Also Second City.
Second City.
Yep,
there you go. He's kind of amazing, Bob Odenkirk.
He is a big bowl of amazing. And he's so amazing in the movie. In the movie, you know, to give you an example, I'm visiting him at work. He runs a copy shop in the movie. And I ask him a question, and then he says to me, "Do you really want to know the answer?" Now, when we're filming it, I have no idea where he's going to go. So when he says, "Do you really want to know the answer? It's about a girl," I'm like, "Yes, tell me." And then he starts on a journey. And by the way, when he asked me that question, he has no idea either.
Right.
And then he goes on this journey, and where he took me, I couldn't believe.
But isn't that the Chicago style of improv? It's that yes and thing where you always answer.
Well, that's a style of improv.
In general?
If it's other cities and they're doing it differently, they're doing it wrong.
Yes. Well, I think in Sweden it's just no. And then the scene stops right there. They have a different kind. And then they just stare at each other over chessboard.
Chicago actors, especially, you know, improv actors, really fit into Curb Your Enthusiasm and the kind of work that I like to do, because that's what they're trained with, yes and.
Right. Well, I just always thought that was like the Del Close kind of chant.
Yes.
In Del Close, who was sort of the legend of of Second City,
yes
and was the big thing. You're saying yes repeatedly. So
And I do it on Curb. When Larry says something, I will a lot of times repeat it.
Right.
And try to explore and heighten.
Because it creates the forward momentum of the scene.
Yes.
If you say no to anything, then the scene
seems
kind of
over. Some people are
like,
why are you always agreeing with Larry? Because if I don't agree with him, he has nowhere to go. Or if I deny what he's saying, I have to, you know, sort of agree.
Would you, after working in improv so long and in this film, would you find it kind of boring to just, you know, direct a scripted movie where you're just, you know...
Well, here's the thing. I'll use Paddy Chayefsky as an example.
Okay.
You get a great script, it's a joy to act in, to direct, to do anything. So great writing is great writing. I don't work the way I do because I don't like writing. I write myself. I love great writing.
This is just your best way of finding it. You like to
I love doing it this way. But by gosh, I'd love to direct a great script, and I love acting in great scripts.
Right, right. Are you a fan of baseball?
I'm a huge baseball fan.
Are you a huge Cubs fan?
Yes, unfortunately, I've been cursed. That's the only curse, is that I'm a Cubs fan. There is no curse.
That's such a sad topic that we'll have to get right back to that. I'm Andy Borowitz. I'm in for Leonard Lopate, and I'm talking to Jeff Garlin, who you all know, but I have to say this anyways, the co-star and co-producer of
Curb
Your
Enthusiasm. Executive producer.
Executive producer.
See, I don't say anything.
Oh, man, in L.A., I would be executed for not giving you your correct.
I don't say anything. Like, the first time you said it, I was like, oh, who cares? But if you're going to repeat it, it's executive producer.
How could they say co-producer?
Well, that happens sometimes. It's okay.
Do they say it?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm to make up for it, I'm now going to promote you to executive producer.
Thank you. And by the way, I did an interview recently, and in the interview, they mentioned, which has been in the press quite a few times, that Christopher Guest is in the movie. He's not in the movie, okay? but I didn't correct her because it just was not worth going into. The same with if you just said co-producer once.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, are they saying Christopher Guest? Because your film, by the way, I didn't get to say the name of your film because we were wrangling over your credit on the film. You see? Talk about priorities, Jeff.
Sorry.
I mean, his film is called Dealing with Idiots. Yes. That's what we're here for,
yes.
Jeff.
And definitely, am I influenced by Christopher Guest? You bet I am.
Yeah, I want to talk about Christopher Guest.
Sure.
Because actually, you know, I was thinking about when this whole genre of sort of, now there have been improvised movies, you know, long before the 80s, but actually the first one that sort of kicked off, I think, like the whole, well, actually, you know what? I want to take that back. Albert Brooks was into this stuff too.
I don't know how much Albert improvised with, let's say, Defending Your Life, Modern
Romance.
No,
I'm thinking earlier.
Oh,
like,
real life. I don't know how. I mean, I imagine
it just
felt
like verite, but it wasn't. It was written. It was written.
I don't know. You know,
it felt very verite.
He's an acquaintance of mine. I've never asked him. That's a great question.
But Spinal Tap
is the
granddaddy. I was going to say that's the granddaddy.
And I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is the first one that's successful on television.
On TV. Now, Spinal Tap, directed by Rob Reiner, but probably a lot of people also say, oh, Christopher Guest, Spinal Tap. But no, Christopher Guest was in Spinal Tap.
I'm sure they did a lot of collaborating.
Yeah. You know, that is just, would you remember what it was like when you first saw that movie?
Jaw-dropping.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing.
Amazing. Made me so happy, and I was in awe of that movie from beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah, and it has sort of kind of spawned this whole genre, and yet it's really hard to do well.
People have tried doing it on television, and it has not worked.
Right, right.
You know, Curb's the only one. And the reason that Curb, I think, works, David's writing the scenario, so you have probably the best TV writer maybe ever.
And so much structure.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And then we work really hard on our casting.
Right. Well, your casting, that is that's an amazing group. Susie Essman, of course.
Oh, the best.
Know,
yeah,
unbelievable.
You know Susie.
Well, we can just, we don't need to promote Curb Your Enthusiasm any further. Although I will ask, while we're on this topic, are there going to be more Curb Your Enthusiasms?
I hope so, but right now I'm doing a new TV series for ABC.
Well, can we talk about that?
Yes.
We can talk about that. What is that?
That's called The Goldbergs.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Very funny. I've seen the promos for it.
The two reasons that I did it, the first reason, most importantly, is it's really funny.
Right.
Which shocked me. Network TV, funny television show, that almost never happens.
It's a family like in the 80s, right?
Yes,
isn't that the idea?
It's kind of a combination I like to think of, kind of All in the Family meets the Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny, and it's totally scripted, although if I come up with an idea, they let me run with it.
Right.
Which is really
nice.
Is
it a single camera show?
Single camera show, and it's going to be on Tuesdays at 9 here in New York following Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The new Marvel show. Well, that's good.
It's a great time slot. Yeah.
Good for you.
But the other reason that I agreed, and this was a deal breaker for me, is if Larry decides to do more Curb, which I think is a good chance. Mm-hmm. I won't say very good, but a good chance, I can still do Curb Your Enthusiasm too.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm always has an extremely civilized schedule in that you just do a handful of them.
Working from morning into the night every day, you know, because I'm a producer,
an executive producer.
So I'm there every day, even if I'm not in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, well, that's good. Better to be busy, though, right?
Busy's great.
Yeah, busy's right.
Busy with doing good work.
Exactly.
Is so satisfying and wonderful. Busy doing stupid thing. Like, I wish doing press now for the movie that every interview could be like this.
Really?
Oh, this is joyful. We're talking. People listen to WNYC, smart people. You know, anybody who's listening to WNYC who's not intelligent is working on becoming more intelligent.
Well.
So, you know, and it's not elitist. You know, it's just that's the reality. But unfortunately, I have to do a lot of things that I don't want to do.
That came dangerously close to a pledge break, what you just said.
Well,
you veered into fundraising.
I think people should give to public radio whenever they can.
Okay. And the number to call is, WNYC.org, of course.
Yeah.
So now you said you're talking about doing good work, which isn't really a a natural segue to the Chicago Cubs, but we should talk about the Cubs. Were you a Cubby fan from childhood on?
Actually, my first year being a Cub fan, I was 7 years old, 1969, where they blew it to the Mets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the Mets won. And by the
way, did you cry?
No. I was very upset in 1984 was the one.
You were considerably older.
Yes. Well, 84, I was 20s. It was my early 20s. Mm-hmm. That one was very, very upsetting. Mm-hmm. That's my most upsetting one was 84. But there's also 89. And then, the Bartman.
The Bartman thing.
Yeah, but I felt bad even saying Bartman. That's how people remember it.
Right.
Because we were so close. But I would give Steve Bartman a hug if I could.
You would.
And tell him not to worry. As a matter of fact, I'm vowing never to say Bartman again to equate those two. Because nothing to do with it.
So this will be the last time.
Here with you.
I don't mean to pull rank on you, but I'm a Cleveland Indians fan. I've also had tremendous
heartbreak. But that's not rank.
I know, sorry. It's not.
When were they in the World Series? 2000 and what?
97, 95. Yeah, we came
and
very
by
close.
The way, great team this year. Looking good.
Yeah.
New manager makes all
Masterson.
The difference.
Yeah. No, I know. We've been burnt before.
Yeah. And Justin Masterson's finally pitching great.
I know.
No, I think that's an exciting team.
This is what we call denial when you live in Cleveland or Chicago. It's that moment in July when you think it's all coming together.
No, that's too much negativity.
Is it too
Don't
much?
Don't do that.
Oh, okay. I'm not
you
doing yes enjoy- and.
You should be. No,
you I believe- should have said yes and
no,
they're going to win the World Series.
You should be enjoying the Indians this year. It's a positive thing. The Cubs, on the other hand, the thing that I look forward to is I think it's not wait till next year, wait till a couple years, maybe even three, and we can have the best team in baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're on
Theo Epstein is really putting together a lot of great young offensive talent. We need to get some pitching. But we're going to be amazing. We're going to probably lose a lot of 10-9 games.
I'm glad that we're now doing sort of sports talk radio.
So it's okay.
A little bit of everything.
It's the Cubs and the Indians.
It's
How often do they get airtime?
Not on WNYC.
Yeah.
Never.
And that's a great World Series if there ever was one.
Oh, absolutely.
Cubs, Indians.
Now, do you know what? So your plate is very full. I was going to say, what are you going to do next? But you know what you're going to do next. You're going to do your TV show.
I'm going to do the Goldbergs.
When you start shooting the TV show, just so
it's shooting the TV show middle of August. It premieres in September. I just did a movie called Laggies that Lynn Shelton directed with Keira Knightley. I play her father. Just what I want. Steve Carell, same age as me, plays her lover in her last movie. I play her father. I don't get that. Although I'm sure she was very attracted to me. There's music coming in.
That means it's time to say farewell.
I
know. We're just getting started. I've been speaking with Jeff Garlin about his new fully improvised film dealing with idiots. It opens at IFC Center on July 17th. That's on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it's on Wednesday. It's also on demand, and it's
on demand.
iTunes, Amazon. Go get
it. That's right. More information on our show page at WNYC.org. And Jeff is the co-executive producer.
No, I'm the executive producer.
Executive producer.
Okay, I'm with. That's okay.